Cavalier fans, welcome to this edition of the Believe in Cavs podcast, part of the Believe Network. I'm your host, Mike Anguilano, and joining me, as always, is Derek Anderson. DA, how was Vegas? I got to know everything.
Oh, it was great, man. Got to see some young guys learning how to play the game, seeing some of my former teammates and former players coaching now. So it was good to reconnect and also see the next generation. So I was excited to see those guys.
Yeah, I was talking to somebody about Summer League and going, because I would love to go one year. And it's just like an NBA con, like how you have Comic-Con and whatnot. Yeah. It's like an NBA con. There's just people all over, people who are blogging on Twitter. You got Steve Ballmer, who seems to have glued his butt to a chair and just watches basketball all day. It just seems like a total basketball convention.
It is. It's good, though. You see everybody, former, young, new. I mean, it's just a basketball. Like you said, it's the Comic-Con of basketball.
Yeah.
Great, man.
Well, we're going to get started on some Cleveland Cavaliers talk. The Cavs are one of the few teams, I think, that are not pushing any of their younger guys from the last two drafts. Obviously, Evan Mobley has no reason to play. Same thing with Cade Cunningham and things like that. But Oshae Igbaji has been playing. Isaiah Mobley has been playing. Luke Travers has been playing. DA, did you get any time to watch the Cavs play specifically, or were you kind of bouncing around to some other teams?
I've saw them play a little bit, but I spoke with the players individually from the NR team meetings and spoke to both of them. We had good in-depth conversation, telling them about the game, and then I watched them play, and they actually used it. Being a good teammate, not worrying about that bad play, moving on to the next, just seeing them grow just from a day or two, and then seeing them for a couple of days later, seeing them play a little bit, you could see that they're going to be great teammates and great players.
So, because this is much more interesting all of a sudden, who did you speak to?
Ocho and Mobley.
Oh, that's awesome. That's very, very cool. What was that like? I mean, those are the two players that I think Cavs fans are going to be seeing maybe making more of an immediate impact. I mean, obviously Igbaji, but Mobley's going to be right down the street in Cleveland playing with a charge on a two-way contract. So if there's an injury, he's going to see at least the bench as a body. So what were the discussions with those two guys like? Because that's really cool.
It was good. It was just, like I said, it was basically what to look for in being a good teammate and good leader, even in a summer league. Like, you practice those habits now. So when the season starts, whether you're on the bench, if you know, whatever happens, you're still learning how to be a good teammate and be better as a player, because you can bring value to a team. And they were both receptive, very well mannered. Like, they are very, very, but that's what happens when you have other people who've taught you things. Even Ocho, he being a 4-year player, he's learned leadership just because he had no choice. You know, when you're in that position in college, like, you have to lead these young guys that way. And I think this has been amazing to see these young guys be so mature.
Yeah, that's very true. They stuck around in college more than the average NBA rookie does. You know, Mobley spent a couple of years at USC, and Igbaji was there for 4 years. So that definitely factors. They're kind of the older guys in summer league, you know, other than the vets who are there, you know, every year to fill roster space. Okay. Very cool. So you got to watch a little bit of the Cavs play. Igbaji has been, and I've been able to watch on and off. Igbaji's been, to me, coming in with uncertain expectations, given that, you know, he wouldn't be playing with obviously Garland or Rubio or, you know, any of the primary point guards that they would be playing with in the season. I wasn't sure exactly how it was going to go, because he's a very catch and shoot kind of guy. But he has demonstrated the ability to create and the ability to take and make threes off the dribble and make catch and shoot threes. He was excellent against the Hornets. He had 24 points, and just raining threes from seemingly every part of the court. And I think that makes a big difference. What did you notice when you were able to watch them, or which game were you able to see?
I forgot who they were playing, but again, I watched them, their mental growth. Like they move on from plays. They didn't complain. They were really hard, working hard. Like those guys are just really like you can tell someone's mentored them on how to just keep playing hard. And you know, that's half the battle. Like you have a lot of talented players, but unless you guys have some motor skills and some development, it's hard to get a lot out of a player. But both of them had really played well, man. And I can't remember who they played. They shot the ball well, shared the ball. Mobley even hit a jump shot, and he was really smooth with it. So it was really good to watch him play, man. I was just excited. Again, I watched the game from a different perspective. Are they a good teammate? Do they play hard? Do they enjoy the game? All that showboating and pointing to the skies and your chest, I'm not into all that. They didn't do all that. They play hard, so.
Hey, I am here for the different perspective. Absolutely. So they played San Antonio for game one. That would have been Friday.
Yeah, they beat them. I saw them Sunday. So whoever they played Saturday, so Sunday.
They played Denver on Sunday.
Yeah, it must have been Denver then.
Yeah, they played Denver on Sunday. Yeah, I know Isaiah Mobley is really interesting because I'm not sure exactly what his value is to the Cavs immediately. But based on some of the things that I saw at Summer League, you know, you had mentioned he hit a jump shot, which looked smooth. And I think that's the value as a big. If he's able to take a few steps back and hit a three, I think that will factor a lot. But he also showed pretty good skills as a passer. I think bigs who can pass, that's kind of the nature of the game for the Cavs. I mean, Mobley is a pretty good passer. And Jared Allen is, you know, a pretty smart passer. I wouldn't say he's necessarily like a super great passer, but he's a smart passer. And if Evan Mobley or if Isaiah Mobley, that's not going to be confusing at all. If Isaiah Mobley is able to provide some passing chops and hit a couple of threes, you know, he'll at least earn some minutes down the line during the season because they will have guys to get hurt. It's just the nature of the game.
Yes. Yep.
So.
Yeah. That's part of it. But like I said, if they're mentally tough, they'll bring value and they'll get a chance to play.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Agbaji has played well enough that I think he might be starting to push guys like Chetty Osman, Dylan Windler, might be pushing them for minutes. And, you know, if he's hitting shots, it's going to be very hard to not have him on the court because Chetty is just hot and cold. Maybe the definition of hot and cold. He's either going to go 7-for-11 from the floor or he's going to go 3-for-15 and be totally unplayable. And you got to get him out of there. And that was kind of a problem for the Cavs at times when Chetty wasn't on, they kind of struggled to decide, okay, who's going to get the ball other than Darius from beyond the arc. It was kind of difficult. You weren't quite sure if Evan Mobley could step back and hit three. Didn't quite trust it. You didn't have Colin. Didn't have Ricky Rubio. So if Agbaji is able to hit shots, it's going to be tough to keep him off the floor. Do you think that, you know, based on your interaction with him, you know, does that seem like a guy that it looks like he's going to start to push some of these vets and maybe squeeze their minutes out of them?
I wouldn't know about squeezing them out of them, but I think if anything, he'll be one of those guys, if you call him, he's always ready. And I think he'll push them to a standpoint, especially in practice. And once he learns the game from them, that's when he'll start to separate. You can tell he'll start adding more value in games. Again, you can't replace 4 years of experience with he's coming into the game. Like guys are leaving 1 year out of college. They haven't developed a whole lot of even defensive principles. He's already has that, you know, certain things. So I think he'll push them to a place, but I think he'll just be one of those guys who won't try to do too much either. So he won't come in and say, hey, I'm going to go score 20, and you'll notice that in practice. So will he actually get, you know, and say, hey, I'm going to challenge the guys and I should be getting more minutes? I don't know yet. But, again, I know he'll be ready if he ever called with injuries and then situations. I think he'll always be ready.
Well, he's going to need – I mean, they're going to need that, right? I mean, every team needs that.
Everyone.
Every team is going to need that. And if he's making shots, like I said, it's going to be hard to keep him off the court. Now, the interesting thing with Agbaji is the Isaac Okoro effect. I know that there are many Cavs fans who are frustrated that Isaac Okoro hasn't been able to become a more consistent offensive player. They don't trust him to, you know, create on his own. He's not a consistent three-point shooter. He's a much better one this past year than the year prior. I believe it went up from like 27% from three up to 31, which is still pedestrian, but growth is growth, and there's no going around that.
Right.
Do you think that, you know, Agbaji is a guy that, and it's very premature to inject a rookie directly in the starting lineup, no matter how good they are. I still think that Dwayne Casey's going to find a way to not start Jaden Ivey. He'll go Cade Cunningham and Corey Joseph or something. So it's very hard to, you know, crack the starting lineup as a rookie. But, you know, if Agbaji's hitting shots and his length really allows him to be a passable defender next to Darius, is that a guy that eventually usurps, you know, Isaac Okoro and sort of his role? Because eventually the offense is going to supersede anything that Okoro can provide on defense, or is that just too premature yet?
It's too premature, because everyone has expectations. And what happens is a lot of fans and a lot of people who think that players can develop a certain way, they put expectations on what they think could be. I always watch, like, again, if you watch the effort, you'll start to see this guy can actually bring value to a team. Then you'll see his IQ. Is he smart enough to pick up and know his role? You know, like, some guys will come in and be like, hey, man, I can score. Yeah, if you get anybody gets 20 shots can score, but it's not going to help the team. Like, you got to know certain shots are good shots, certain shots are not. And just knowing your role, I think that's different. Like Draymond Green, even when he's at what he did, he learned how to play his role. So he passed up a lot of shots that he could probably make only to make this team better. So I think that's the same with these guys. Like, if they understand their roles, they'll bring value. They'll get that opportunity. But again, that's too premature to say they can come in and do anything yet. I just think it's all about the effort and IQ. Once you figure out who has that, that's the guy you'll be like, okay, we understand why he's playing more than someone else.
Right. Yeah, I agree it's too premature. I think people are just anxious for somebody to replace Isaac Okoro in that role, because they're just frustrated with the lack of offense. But, you know, we will have to see. I think that the defense is super valuable. Did you get a chance to see Luke Travers play?
Not a lot. I didn't. I was so busy going around. We were talking to a lot of teams. Like I said, I didn't get to watch the whole Cavs game either. So it was tough to get a lot of time in. I was speaking to so many different players about mental health and staying stable and fighting through the fatigue and whatnot. So I was moving around a lot.
Well, then let's wrap up the Cavs talk real quick and talk about that, because that's obviously very important as well. You know, rookies get thrust into very fast-paced situations right off the bat. So let's wrap up the Cavs talk real quick. Luke Travers, you probably saw the mullet. He's being compared to Larry Bird because of the mullet. You know, I have tempered expectations because he's a draft and stash player, but he, you know, in watching just some of his time on the court already, the summer league, he seems like a wing that just does the little things really well. He hustles, he knows what to do with the ball in transition, just makes smart decisions. Cavs fans can be excited about him, but again, he's a guy that's going to be a stash player. You might see him next year when they get a lot more roster flexibility, but very much worth noting. Same thing with RJ Nembhard. He has come on strong. He's familiar with the Cavs system, playing with the charge. He's a guy that could be pushing guys who are lower on the bench for time. He could be pushing like a Lamar Stevens, although I know the Cavs are very, very interested in keeping and playing Lamar more, but you know, so those are some of the guys that might be pushing for time next year. And of course the Cavs still haven't signed Colin Sexton yet. Of course, I'm expecting them to do it like right after the podcast ends, so I have to edit in a 2 minutes about that, but we'll see. They have not signed him yet. At this point, you know, would it be weird if he accepted the qualifying offer?
No, not at all. Not at all. I think it'll be weird only if he doesn't believe in something else is going to happen. I think every person's got their own thing. Like, you know, I signed a 1-year deal just to go to a winning team to see if that's what I wanted to do, as opposed to signing to a 6-year team that I wasn't sure of. You know what I mean? Like, you try right. to figure out what's best for your future and financially, and you sometimes you do that. So sometimes players really love the game and want to stay there and want to figure it out. So you'll see what he does, but I wouldn't be surprised.
Okay.
You know, he's a competitor too. So
he is a competitor. And yeah. It was said on the ESPN broadcast for today's game that he's fully healthy and will be ready for training camp, which is always good to hear too, after his knee injury. You know, if someone would have said he's going to take the qualifying offer, if I had heard that like in February, I would have thought that person's insane or something terrible has happened where he can only take the qualifying offer. But now it seems more plausible. I think it's more plausible. And given the fact that, you know, they weren't able to work out a sign and trade with the Pacers to free up some space in the Ricky Rubio signing, they have a little financial wiggle room. I think they need to move on from Jetty or from Dylan Windler to free up some extra cap space. But we will have to see on the Colin yeah. Sexton front. So before we wrap up this podcast, I did want to talk about and really listen, because I'm interested about some of the other people you spoke to, the work that you were doing at Summer League. I'm sure it was very hectic and very hot the whole time. So if you just want to go over some of the things that you did and some of the people that you talked to in Summer League, I would love to hear.
Well, basically, I was just teaching them about life and how this is a business, to try to keep your emotions from to interfering with your decision making. You know, because sometimes we'll look at life and we'll look at the sport, I mean, and forget about life. You know, because like taking it personal to a general manager or a coach or someone might tell you something and not actually be true. I was just telling them, hey, you guys got to be ready to do your job. You know, that was one thing that we didn't get a chance to hear from other people. You would ask a vet and they would say, just go get your money, not thinking about your future, how things should be going and such not. So I think now it's just having a conversation with these young guys to just do your job and have fun. Don't worry about all other stuff. It'll take care of itself. Don't let the business side affect you, how you love the game of basketball. You've been fortunate enough to make it this far. So just having those kind of conversations, man, really got to see those guys smile and say, you know what, you're right. Like, I've made it this far. You know, I tell them, like, look at all the guys 10 years ago who you thought were better than you. Look where they're at now. You kept going. You kept believing in yourself. You kept doing the right things, and you made it. So stay the same way. Just understand what you're doing now is magnified more. So be careful what you're doing. Watch your say and enjoy it. And I think a lot of these kids don't enjoy the process. They try so hard to get to the NBA that they never enjoy the process of even trying to make it or even staying in the NBA. And I think that's the fun part. Just go out there, enjoy yourself. You know, have fun, play like you played at a park, go to win, give your best, be smart and enjoy it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it's the journey. It's not just the destination. You know, it's all of the things that you see and the people you meet along the way. So you said you talked to Agbaji and you talked to Isaiah Mobley. Who else were you able to talk to? Was it just with rookies or was it just teams in general?
Mostly all rookies.
It was all rookies. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
We do it every year. We try to get them informed. Some of the guys who's coming back who played already, they pretty much know what to do. They've heard the spiel, and if they want to talk and come join, they were more than welcome. I even spoke to some of them, but it was all about just making sure these young guys knew how to process this new transition. I told them that's all you call it, the rookie transition. You transition from a young man to a businessman, and you have to focus on that right now.
Okay. Were you able to talk to any of the other top 10 picks?
Yeah, talk to all of them.
Okay.
Yeah, so we was all in the same room. We did everything together, so it was pretty fun.
That's very awesome. That's a lot of that's a lot of knowledge that, you know, you were trying to pass down to some guys that, you know, they're just getting inundated with stuff right now from their teams, from their families, You know, it's just a lot to process. That's very cool. And mental health and, you know, just being prepared and whatnot, they are super important, especially as these kids go from being drafted to like a month later. Now they're playing in games and preparing for training camp and all of the pressures of that. Is there anything that you had wished that you would have heard when you were in these young guys' positions that, you know, that would have made it a bigger difference? Like what's the one thing that you make sure you hammer home with these young guys that, you know, that sticks with you personally?
To not let the business side affect you. And I think it's always affected me because I'm like, why would you lie to me? Why would you not tell me the truth? Why would you not just, you know, like we're figuring like, hey, I'm a man. Like, just tell me, hey, you know, we're going to do this. Because some teams did. Some teams like, you know what? Hey, we're going to go in a different direction. We're going to sign Trey. We're going to give you the best. We wish you the best. Like, so a couple teams did that. But the other ones were literally like, hey, no, you won't get traded. You want this. We'll do this. We'll make sure. And then they did. And I took it personal. And I was like, oh, man, these are liars. Like, I really was upset because I didn't feel like they had to, but I didn't realize it was really a business. And they're having to do that to keep everything kind of like, I guess, peaceful and kind of keep it, you know, so no one else knows. It was a variety of reasons why they did it. And I realized now, it's like, oh, they were just doing business. It wasn't personal against me. And that's what I tell the kids. Don't let this take away from your success and your business future by taking it personal. And I think so long as no one's said anything derogatory towards you, I think that was something I wish someone would have told me. Everyone said, you know, we were playing, just get your money and go play. Now it's like your whole brand can be affected by just sitting doing that. And I think we didn't, a lot of us younger guys at the point didn't maximize our brand like now they do.
Yeah. Yeah. And especially with the NIL being introduced for college athletes, I think that has really changed things a lot. For college players. I mean, it's an immeasurable amount of change that has been introduced by allowing that to happen. And, you know, there's positives and there's, you know, there's not negatives, but there, you know, there's just different outcomes and different things that happen as a result of that. And it introduces immediate financial gain at a very, very young age, you know, maybe before these kids are able to understand the, you know, the magnitude of it. So, okay. Well, that's very cool. It's really important. And, you know, every couple of months, years, you see stories pop out about guys that, you know, needed that advice and it wasn't given back then. Yes. Eddie Curry comes to mind. There was a big write-up on him and, you know, he was a very highly touted prospect and came out and, you know, needed that sort of guidance. There was an article today about Shabazz Muhammad, who had a similar thing when he was in high school and then going to UCLA. So really important information. That's very awesome. You guys speak to all of the top 10 picks and all of the rookies. That's very, very awesome. So before we wrap up this podcast, anything else from Vegas that you wanted to touch on? I'm sure there was a ton happening.
Yeah, man, it was just great to see those guys. I mean, I'm looking forward to the next group of guys ready to play. And I'm just excited to see it. Some really good kids. No, it wasn't a whole lot of prima donnas. Wasn't a lot of, you know, disrespectful kids. They were really well-mannered, really solid kids. And I'm looking forward to seeing them.
Fantastic. Well, I know I kind of squeezed you on time this week between Vegas and you heading out for your birthday. So we'll preemptively say a happy birthday to DA and to enjoy much. And to enjoy the weekend. Yeah, absolutely. I'm glad we were able to squeeze in a podcast. We'll be talking more Cavs next week, I'm sure. Well, maybe. Who knows if, honestly, who knows if Colin Sexton will be signed by them, but we will have plenty more Cavaliers talk for you all next week as the next step is training camp. Going to come here pretty quickly. Well, really, the next step is Kevin Durant figuring out where he's going to be playing basketball. And then it seems like the NBA season will officially be starting, right? Right. Right. Yeah. Seeing what happens with DeAndre Ayton signing an offer sheet with the Indiana Pacers, which really throws a wrench in everything, but that's for another podcast. DA, thank you so much for finding some time to join me. And once again, enjoy your birthday this weekend, sir.
Thank you, my friends. Good talking to you.
Good talking to you and good having all of you listening. We appreciate all of you very much listening to the Believe in Cavs podcast, part of the Believe Network. We'll see you all next time.